You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each week we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained as we talk to you about the Montreal Canadiens. And we've got lots to talk to you about today on episode 383 of Canadiens Connection. But first, before we get there, let me introduce myself. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. The title of today's show is Roster Pressure, the Canadiens' Toughest Lineup Decisions. Dun, dun, dun. Sounds a bit foreboding, but we'll see what kind of decisions we're going to talk about in just a minute. First, I'd like to welcome and bring in here to the studio my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens, and Rick, there's a lot happening with the Canadiens, and there's a lot of what ifs coming up.
Well, that's right. It was a big news day on Friday when some lineup decisions were made and hinted at, and we're going to be talking about some of that in the second segment. But I just want to say happy hockey day in Canada to all of our Canadian listeners.
That's right.
All seven Canadian teams are in action today. It used to be a bigger deal than it was. There's festivities in Moncton, I believe, this year.
Yes, in Moncton.
It's wonderful to celebrate. Nonetheless, also some divisional card games going on in the NFL, so a good sports weekend.
NFL schmenfl.
Oh, I forgot. I shouldn't have brought that up.
No.
I shouldn't have said anything. I'm terribly sorry for your Eagles.
They didn't do themselves any favors, so the best Eagles news of the week was that you blinked after they lost that game and they fired their offensive coordinator, which should have happened, oh, I don't know, in September, maybe by September 10th. So that's the best news that there could have been. But yes, good luck. Maybe Josh Allen will do something. We'll see.
Lots of Buffalo Bills fans in Southern Ontario.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens. Keep a little bit of an eye on it. But for today, let's give you an idea of what to expect on today's show. In our first segment, we have our week in review. So we are going to briefly recap the four games that the Canadiens played since our last episode. Rick has his three stars that he's designated for this week that we'll review, as well as the latest roster news. There is definitely some injury news to talk about, transactions to talk about, movement to talk about, signings to talk about. We cover it all in roster news. And then, of course, we take a peek with the Habs prospects. Lots going on there as well. Some new records being set by some young prospects that we want to touch on, and as well give you an update on the Laval Rocket and the Trois-Rivières Lions. Then a couple of big pieces of general hockey news from around the league that we want to briefly discuss right at the end of our first segment. Then in our second segment, we tackle our big topic of the week. The return of injured players is forcing some difficult roster decisions. And so we're going to take a look at, you know, basically reading the tea leaves on what's coming up in the next couple of weeks and then right after the Olympic break, because as guys get healthy, and if you recall, the beginning of the season brought a slew of injuries. Well, as these guys now inch closer and closer to getting back into the lineup and getting healthy, there's going to be some difficult roster decisions and lineup decisions to make. And we're going to examine pinpoint what those are and talk about, you know, what we feel the right decisions should be and discuss whether or not we think those correct decisions will be made. There's a lot at stake here and there's a lot to examine. And then in our third segment, we are going to get you all set up for what's promising to be a pretty exciting week of hockey ahead and get you any other relevant news before we let you get back to watching the Habs on TV for the evening. So without further ado, let's first go back to last Saturday, Detroit coming into town. Always love an original six matchup. And Detroit coming into town to face off with the Montreal Canadiens at the Bell Center. Jacob Fowler in net. This was the start of the injury returns, and I'll let Rick talk a little bit about that in a moment. Maybe the bigger news was that Detroit, over the last few seasons, has not been super competitive. Well, things have changed with them this year, and Detroit took it to Montreal in their barn, shutting them out 4-0.
I think this game took the Canadiens by surprise a little bit. Mm-hmm. They may have underestimated the Red Wings. The Red Wings have been very good. This was a game for first place in the Atlantic Division. Full marks to the Red Wings. After the game, the players, Marty St. Louis, Captain Nick Suzuki, talked about the bounces. The bounces didn't go their way. And that might be true, but neither did they look in control of this game at any time. That is the Canadiens. So 4-0 shutout. Jacob Fowler was in goal for this game. Can't be faulted. Of course, the Canadiens provided no offensive support, mm-mm, so you can't blame the goaltender. He made 20 saves. It was the return of Caden Gooley to the lineup. He hadn't played since the 16th of October. Played 19 minutes in this game, more or less on the third pairing, paired with Arber Xhekaj. Whether coincidental or not, Arber Xhekaj had one of his best games in a very long time. Played 12 and a half minutes, had 8 hits, and looked very good, very solid in this game. But the Canadiens could not generate any offense.
So then Monday evening, Amazon Hockey on Prime Night in Canada. Again, Montreal was at home for this one. This time it was the Vancouver Canucks in town. Montreal seemed to remember how to put the puck in the back of the net for this one, because they downed Vancouver 6-3. Jakub Dobesh backstopping the Canadiens. Glad to see him getting a start finally.
Yeah, his starts for him have been few and far between in January, but this was his 14th win of the season and brought him to a record of 14-5-3, by far the most wins for the Montreal Canadiens and as a goaltender. Alex Carrier nabbed the first star, getting two mm-hmm. goals in short order. And then it was the second line that did a lot of the rest of the damage. Yuri Slavkovsky had a goal and two assists. Ivan Demidov had 3 assists. Oliver Kapanen had his 16th goal of the season. It was a bit of Jekyll and Hyde for Arber Xhekaj. He was benched for the most part after the third Canuck goal. I'd say directly responsible for two of the three Vancouver Canuck goals in this game.
Back-to-back night, because after that win at the Bell Centre on Monday night, the Canadians turned right around, headed out for a short trip down to Washington to take on the Capitals on Tuesday night. Sam Montembeau getting the start in this one, went to overtime, and they just, although they got the point, they couldn't get both points, Washington besting them 3-2.
Canadians opened the scoring. It was Josh Anderson with a shorthanded goal. Josh Anderson had been out of the lineup for six games due to an upper body injury. It was his return. Brendan Gallagher scored his fourth of the season in the second period. But then it was the Washington Capitals roared back in the third period. Two goals by Ethan Frank. Caden Gooley was not in the lineup on this night, and apparently that was planned as kind of easing him back into action. Sam Montembeau, a good night for him, recorded the loss, though, despite making 39 saves, and then gave up that goal to Connor McMichael in overtime with less than a minute left in overtime.
Thursday, the road trip continued with their fourth and final game of this past week. This against an opponent, they're going to see a lot. I don't get the schedule making this year. They had this, was it December? They played Pittsburgh three times in the month of December. And now in January, they're playing Buffalo three times in the same month. It's like you could spread this out a little bit, guys. But Montreal not looking their best, and Buffalo definitely, you know, I don't know if they were hyped up because they were celebrating the 05-06 anniversary team and had a lot of pretty familiar faces and very beloved Sabres in the building that night, but they won this one 5-3.
There's a bit of restructuring going on, and the teams that fans normally expect the Canadians to beat, and the teams that you might expect to be at the bottom of the standings, like Detroit, like Buffalo, are not there, are not in those spots this year. And Buffalo's had an excellent season. They went on, I think, an 11-game winning streak, but they've been really good. And this game featured two of the youngest teams in the NHL. Difference is Sabres, in their forward positions, they're speedy just like the Canadians, but they're also big. And one of their big speedy forwards, Tage Thompson, had a hat trick in this game. Canadians, this was mostly all Buffalo. Power plays played a big part. There were four power play goals scored, two by each team, which was positive for Montreal because they had entered the game where their power play had been struggling. They were on a 3-for-30 run in the previous 10 games. It was Jacob Fowler in this game, 22 saves. Again, wouldn't put it on Jacob Fowler. It's just Buffalo, they're going to be a team that the Canadians are going to have to come up with a bit of a better game plan than Marty had for this one, because the Sabres looked to be in full control. And it must have pleased former Canadiens GM Marc Bergevin, who has recently taken the position as associate GM of Buffalo. And as you said, Buffalo's going to be up on the docket a couple more times this month. So this is going to be an interesting matchup for the next few years, because these are two skilled, fast teams to watch.
And young, which means they're going to grow at the same, kind of at the same, on the same timeline. All right, well, that was four games for the week. Montreal only coming up with a victory in one of them, although they did get one point in the OT loss against Washington, but not an ideal week. So it's, you know, kind of, we're going to talk in a moment about what their record is and whether or not Money Puck, where they have them for making the playoffs, but three losses in a week isn't going to help with that. Through 48 games played, that leaves the Canadiens 26-15-7. 59 points. They have slipped down to third in the Atlantic and seventh overall in the NHL. Still in a playoff spot. That's fine. But they did, remember last week, Money Puck, they were sitting around 80% chance of making the playoffs. They've dropped down to 74.5%. Still a good odds.
Good. Yeah.
But they did slip a little bit because they slipped on the ice this week.
Well, they can't have another week where they win one game during the week. It's especially the way the East is going, and you look at some of the runs of these teams, Tampa, it just ran off a string of 11 wins or so, and we talked about Buffalo and Detroit. Things are changing. So it wasn't a great week for Montreal, but I still picked three stars that I thought that had contributed very well. Ivan Demidov is at the top this week, the number one star. He had 4 points in four games. He had three even strength points, most on the team, tied with Juraj Slafkovský, and he reached the 40-game plateau and the first rookie to do that this season. Cole Caufield was in a bit of a goal-scoring drought. Mm-hmm. And had gone, I think it was four games without scoring a goal. He picked up a goal this week, added two assists for 3 points. He had a whopping 17 shots on goal in those four games. Looks like he was going for that goal. The only other Canadian who was double digit in shots this week was Oliver Kapanen. And of course, we know it's that second line that's been driving most of the offense for Montreal. My third star is Noah Dobson. He had 2 points in four games and is playing about 23 and a half minutes on average in those four games.
You did manage to have some honorable mentions, though, as well.
For sure. Nick Suzuki, 4 points for him. He gets an honorable mention. Alex Carrier, we mentioned him already. The two goals in one game. A rarity. A goal is a rarity for Alex, but he had two. So he had a good week. Lane Hutson. Hutson became the second fastest defenseman in NHL history to record 100 assists. He got to that 100 assist mark in just 132 regular season games. The only one ahead of him who did that faster is Sergei Zubov, who got to that same 100 assist milestone in just 127 games.
I missed it by five games.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. But there were, I mean, you can't imagine three games out of four with a loss that you don't have some people on the struggle bus.
Yeah, that, Zach Bolduc, we touched on it a bit last week. He looks completely lost in all zones. He's gone very long stretches of pointless games. That third line really struggled against the Sabres. Phil Deneau centering that line. He didn't play well against the Sabres. In the four games this week, he had one assist, a minus five, worst amongst Canadian. And he had the worst faceoff percentage amongst Habs centers this week at 47%. All the others, Suzuki, Kapanen, Valeno, and Beck, were all at 50% or above. So that third line struggling in all aspects. Brendan Gallagher, there's been a lot of talk about Brendan Gallagher and his struggles. He got a goal this week, but we'll touch on Brendan Gallagher a little bit later.
All right. In terms of roster news, we've already touched on the fact that Caden Gooley and Josh Anderson both returned to the lineup this week. That was those were two good faces to see back in the lineup. And Rick had mentioned that it was kind of preordained that they would ease Gooley back in, so they held him out of Tuesday's game in Washington. It seems they are taking a little bit of time and playing it careful with Josh Anderson as well, Rick, because he had a therapy day on Friday.
He did. He didn't participate in Friday's practice, which was held in Ottawa. Alex Texier also took a therapy day on Friday.
And during the week this week, there was a team-insisted mandatory day off for Lane Hutson as well.
I thought this was hilarious that the team needed to tell Lane Hutson that he wasn't allowed to
practice
to come. Lane Hutson said he wasn't happy about it, but he understands there's a lot of games in the season.
Yeah. There was a signing this week, and it was not one I was expecting in the middle of January, but the Canadiens signed forward Alexandre Texier to a 2-year contract extension that takes him through 2027-28. I believe it's about $2.5 million AAV.
That's right. Alex Texier has certainly made the most of what was a bad situation for him this season. His career was in a downturn. The St. Louis Blues had signed him as a free agent, and in November they placed Texier on unconditional waivers for the purpose of contract termination. In the Blues' first 21 games, Texier just appeared in 8 of those games, scratched for 13 games, only had 1 point in his tenure with the Blues. But the Canadiens grabbed him off the waiver wire, and he's been, described as a Swiss Army knife. He's been plugged in various places. He has some puck skills. He can skate. He has some puck skills, and so he doesn't look too far out of place when placed on whatever line it is. And he's had a stint with the top line, and he is so far 7 goals, 9 assists in the 25 games he's played with the Montreal Canadiens. Some success. He had that hat trick that stood out, and some success with Suzuki and Caulfield. The issue there is Texier is getting his points. He's a finisher and is in the right place finishing plays created by Suzuki and Caulfield. Suzuki and Caulfield aren't producing the way they should be, and that's part of Texier not being a first line player. He doesn't create offense. He's okay in his own end, he can use his skating ability to be a forechecker, but obviously he belongs as a bottom six forward. And once all the and we're going to talk about that. Once all the Canadiens forwards are healthy, you expect to see him down in the third or fourth line. I think what was surprising here was the timing. I don't know what the rush was.
That's what, yeah.
What was the rush? What was even the dollars were a little bit steep for that level. I guess the Canadiens wanted to reward him for what he had done, and there was some speculation that they were worried that the price would go up. I think that once he's bumped down in the lineup, the points aren't going to come so easily. Not so easily when you're not playing with Suzuki and Caulfield, and so there was little risk that the price would have escalated. What is he? Is he a Paul Byron? Is he a Raphael Harvey Pinard? What is he? Somewhere in between, I suppose. For me, the timing was odd and the price was a little steep. And I know, there was some excuses being made by the media saying, listen, they had to put, the price that high because, if they have to send him to Lavelle, they don't want anybody to pick him up on waivers. If you set the contract at a level where nobody else will pick him up, you're proving the point that the price is too high and the contract's a bit unrealistic.
That's right.
He is very, very happy to be in Montreal, happy to be wanted, probably playing the best hockey of his career.
Well, with some those couple of injuries coming back, and we've been talking about the three goaltender situation for a while, we knew that there was going to be some sort of movement this week. And on Friday, the Canadiens decided to loan Owen Beck and Jacob Fowler to the Laval Rocket, which I think the Owen Beck send down is unfortunate. I think he deserves some more time in the NHL. As far as Jacob Fowler goes, for me, I hate to see Fowler or Dobish in Laval, but at this stage, I'm glad that they didn't wrong Jakub Dobish by sending him down. Fowler, I think, will be, while I think he's probably not got anything left to learn in the AHL, I think that he would take the send down a little bit better.
Yeah, and you know, both players had been with the team since December 9th, and when Fowler was recalled on the 9th, I don't think anybody expected him to be up with the team to play as much as he did, and not only to play as much, to play as well, to play as steady as he did, got that shutout, played well both times against Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the games this past week, the Canadiens had four games, busy schedule. The two toughest opponents on the docket were the Red Wings and the Sabres. Those were the two biggest games. In fact, when you look back to the game last Saturday, the Red Wings, it was being called the biggest game of the year for the Montreal Canadiens. Who did they start in both of those games? Jacob Fowler. So he was trusted by the coaching staff. It makes sense for him to go down, to have an easy departure. He lost both those games this past week, but certainly the losses weren't on him. And this allows him to return to Laval. He'll play the next couple of weeks, and then it was clear, I think, that he was going to be with Laval over the Olympic break anyway.
Yeah.
So this all makes sense for him to be there. The only thing about Owen Beck that I'll add to what you said, and I agree, he is showing his speed, his physicality, his face-off prowess, his defensive game, his a complete game. He is showing, and that's what was asked of him. And he needs to. They may need to find a way to include him in the lineup and give him a better opportunity. He got his first NHL goal, which everybody was happy about,
yes,
on the 20th of December against the Penguins.
Definitely. There are some more returns from injury on the horizon, some closer than others. Jake Evans, Kirby Duck, and Patrick Laine all practiced with their team in Ottawa on Friday, all three wearing regular jerseys. They've ditched the no-contact jerseys.
So all are close. On Saturday morning at the media availability, there was no game day skate, but Marty came to speak to the media. He said that Jake Evans will take part in the warm-up in Ottawa and may play, is likely to play, will probably play. I'd say Jake Evans is going to play. He's been out since December 20th, that game against the Penguins where it was a knee-on-knee situation. And he suffered a lower body injury. Marty said that Doc and Patrick Laine won't play against Ottawa, but obviously they're getting very close.
All right. And Sam Montembeault is getting tapped for the start in goal on Saturday versus the Senators.
We don't know what the lines are going to be. As I said, there was no game day skate in Ottawa. But with Evans likely coming back, does it mean Valeno is coming out? Because Valeno, Dano, and Evans are likely in the same spot. We'll see. We'll see. On defense, the extra was Struble in the last game, and has Arber Xhekaj and some of his issues. Will there be a change there on defense?
All right. We just have to wait to see. Let's take a quick dip into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
We have a trade to announce. Not that kind of trade. In the KHL, Habs prospect forward Makar Khanin was traded from Dynamo Moscow to SKA St. Petersburg. But it looks like he's not going to play for SKA in the KHL. Rick, he's going to...
The VHL.
That's right.
Which is where he's well-placed. And we'll just remind you that he was a seventh-round pick in 2024 by the Canadiens.
On the Canadiens connection in the 2025-26 hockey season, when we get to the Habs prospect report, yes, we are going to talk about CHL defenseman Bryce Pickford.
He's just...
Because he's forcing us
he's
to.
He's on the agenda.
Every single week. What did he do this week?
Well, on Friday, he scored the game-winning goal for his Medicine Hat Tigers against the Edmonton Oil Kings. And by scoring the game winner, that was his 33rd goal of the season. Yes,
he's a defenseman.
33rd. He set a new WHL record for goals by a defenseman in a single season. And this isn't my language. This is the WHL language during the internet era.
Which is defined as what exactly?
I don't know. It's also a Tigers franchise record for goals by a defenseman.
My goodness. So in his 40 games played, he's got 33 goals, 28 assists for 61 points. Oh, and he's a plus 46. A plus 46.
See you next week on the Canadiens Connection, Bryce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got for us next week? Well, you know, if he's not, he's almost a sure thing on the prospect report every week, as almost is Michael Hage. And he continues to do tremendous things, scoring his 12th goal of the season this week.
It was a game winner, too.
It was a game winner. Also had an assist in a game, Michigan beating the University of Minnesota 5-1. A little bit of a spanking on Friday night.
In addition to Canadiens prospect Michael Hage playing for Michigan, LJ Mooney and Luke Mittelstadt, both Canadiens prospects playing for Minnesota, they each had an assist for Minnesota.
So Hage, tremendous season continues. 12 goals, 20 assists for 32 points in 23 games. And another one who's on the regular rotation, Alexander Zhirovsky over there in the KHL. Apparently everybody wanted to score game winning goals this week.
On Friday.
Yeah.
His 13th, a game winner. He has 13 goals, 20 assists for 33 points in 38 games.
Now, last week, you will recall that we mentioned Habs goaltending prospect Mikus Vatsvanax was released by the Newfoundland Regiment in the queue because there was a whole bunch of trading, particularly of goaltenders, going on in the QMJHL last week. That left Vatsvanax kind of fourth tier for the regiment, so they released him. You'll also remember that we mentioned that next season he's committed to the University of Maine and the NCAA. So what do you do between now and then?
He needed a place to play. And the BCHL is one of those places, junior leagues, looking for players. And Vatsvanax is BCHL rights were held by Brooks, the Brooks Bandits. They didn't need a goaltender. He had, Vakvanex had played there during the 2024-25 season. So the Bandits traded Mikkos to the Victoria Grizzlies, and they did so for future considerations, which usually means nothing. Yeah. and so he is now, Mikkos is now a member of the Victoria Grizzlies of the BCHL, and they're very happy to have him for the rest of this season.
That's right. Switching gears to the AHL, before we get to how the Laval Rocket has performed this week, we knew already that head coach Pascal Vincent is going to be coaching the North Division All-Stars at the AHL All-Star Classic because at the cutoff date, Laval was sitting at the top of the division. But the AHL has also announced the full rosters for players for the 2026 AHL All-Star Classic. That is going to be held this year in Rockford, Illinois, February 10th and 11th. And they have pretty hefty representation this year.
From the Rocket?
Yeah.
The three players who are named. And it's the first All-Star appearance, AHL All-Star appearance for all three players. It includes defenseman Adam Engstrom, goaltender Jacob Fowler, and forward Laurent Dauphin.
So including the head coach, there will be four Laval representatives at the AHL All-Star Classic this year. That is a tremendous feat and really great for them. In terms of games, not so great. In fact, they lost every game they played this week. They lost 3-2 to Syracuse last Saturday. They were downed by Belleville on Wednesday night on home ice and lost in the shootout on Friday night against the Manitoba Moose, which was unfortunate because that was a Rocket Richard night.
Mm-hmm. With special jerseys, jerseys on out a bit on the opinions of those jerseys, but it was Rocket night, big crowd, and could not generate enough to offense against Manitoba. It was Luke Tuck with the only goal for Laval. Adam Engstrom was doing his best. He had seven shots on goal.
And Engstrom earlier this week had a goal against Syracuse, two assists in the game against Belleville. So he's been doing quite well since going back to Laval. So through their 37 games, Laval holds a 22-12-1-2 record. They still sit first overall in the North Division, sixth overall in the AHL. They are playing the Manitoba Moose again this afternoon at Place Belle. And then next week, they travel out to Abbotsford. Late night games, brew a pot of coffee because they both don't start until about 10 p.m. Eastern time. Tuesday and Wednesday night, Laval taking on the Abbotsford Canucks for a little bit of a Western road swing. The Lions, Trois Rivières Lions, had a big night on Friday night because they finally won a game. It had been a little while.
Yeah, they beat the Thunder 3-1, and it had been they had been on a six game losing streak and picking up the win on Friday night to put an end to that.
All right. Well, let's see if they can continue that. That would be great. Just a couple of other notes from around the NHL. Had a coach firing this week. The Columbus Blue Jackets parting ways with head coach Dean Evason on Monday. But that vacancy didn't stay open for very long because on Tuesday they announced that former Winnipeg Jets head coach Rick Bowness was replacing him as the bench boss in Columbus.
GM Don Waddell said it's a critical point of the season. They still feel that they have a chance to make the playoffs and they needed to do something right away. And Rick Bowness, having retired a couple seasons ago, was available. First night behind the bench was Tuesday, and Columbus did well for their new coach. They beat the Flames 5-3.
Not a firing in New York for the Rangers yet, but I think everyone is going to be on the edge of their seats in the Rangers building after GM Chris Drury wrote an open letter to their fans, to Rangers fans on Friday.
I kind of remember that happening once before. And
with a Rangers GM.
The Rangers GM named Jeff Gorton, yeah.
Wrote an open letter to their fans when he was there.
So, and Drury's under a lot of pressure. He this might be an effort to hold on to his job, and he's probably under scrutiny to see how he handles this. He announced that that the team and the fans have to be realistic, that they're not going to stand pat, that it's they intend to do a retooling of the team. He said flat out, this is not a rebuild, and it's going to be retooling the team around their core players and the prospects. He said, we will target players that bring tenacity, skill, speed, and a winning pedigree, with a focus on obtaining young players, draft picks, and cap space. And to do that, he said, it's going to mean saying goodbye to players that have brought us and our fans great moments over the years. So Canadians fans were already salivating over what might be available. And you know, a player like Artemi Panarin, who, by the way, has a full no movement clause. So we'll see what happens there. But Chris Drury has announced that the Rangers are open for business.
Oh, boy. It's going to be interesting. All right. We are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast and bring you a quick message from our friends and sponsors over at DraftKings. Check out the incentive they have for our Canadians Connection listeners here at the Hockey Podcast Network. And when we come back, we are going to be diving into our big topic, the return of injured players forcing difficult roster decisions. Whew, it's going to be juicy. Stick around for that. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown. With Pick 6, DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. You pick more or less on two or more player stats. And the better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, joined in the studio by my co-host Rick Stevens. You are welcome if you'd like to follow either one of us over on Twitter. You can do that. My handle is at Flyers Rule. Rick's handle is the main Rocket Sports account. It's at Rocket Sports. And while you're there, follow at Habs Connection. That's the Canadians Connection podcast account. At Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. And don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, if you're enjoying the show, whether it's the first time you've listened, the 30th time, or the 383rd time, if it's your 383rd time, you've probably subscribed by now. But make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. It takes just a second. Whatever player you're listening to, or if you're watching on YouTube right now, just tap the subscribe button. That's all it takes. So as the Canadians start getting healthier, yay, a different kind of challenge is now showing up. And frankly, this might be one of the most important tests of the season, because with guys getting healthy, roster spots now are tightening up. They're getting a little more competitive. There's lineup decisions that are going to be coming fast and furious. And suddenly the question really isn't about, oh, who's available to play? It's, okay, who actually deserves to be playing? Because there's going to be a surplus very quickly. We've already seen that happen this week. So on this week's show, we're looking at whether merit is going to truly guide these decisions that need to be made in the coming weeks, or if there are other factors that are going to start muddying the waters. Because really, how Kent Hughes, Marty St. Louis, the Canadians overall, how they handle these decisions and these choices isn't just going to, you know, it's not just a matter of, okay, well, this is who's in the lineup and this is what the lineup looks like tonight. It's actually going to tell us a lot about where the team sits in this rebuild and what it means for the rebuild and the prospects and the youth and the young core going forward. So we'll start with the thing that I'll say for now had a resolution this week. I don't think it's the final resolution. I don't think it's the final solution. It shouldn't be. But there was a bit of movement there this week, and that was the three-goalie tandem coming to an end exactly 1 month after it began.
Yeah, I just compare the dates, and yeah, it's a month after it began. And technically, the Canadians had three goalies on the roster, but in reality, it was Jacob Fowler and Jakub Dobish who carried the Montreal Canadiens for the month of December.
100%.
They both performed well. They both performed above expectations, particularly Fowler. And they were the ones who successfully backstopped the team. Remember, we talked about the December being particularly the last 3 weeks of December being the Canadiens' toughest part of the schedule mm-hmm. for the season.
Yeah.
And it was Fowler and Dobish, two rookie goaltenders, who were given the responsibility and performed exceptionally well.
They did. They really did. Now, as we mentioned in the first segment, Jacob Fowler was assigned to Laval on Friday. So for now, this ends the question of what are they doing about this three goaltender situation. Fowler goes back to Laval, gets some more reps in the AHL, for which he was already playing pretty dominantly before his call up. Now that he's had some tremendous experience and success in the NHL, I imagine that his confidence is even going to be more through the roof now that he's back in the AHL.
Yeah, and it makes sense. We know that Kent Hughes, Jeff Gorton, they don't like to make decisions. They don't like to make controversial decisions. They don't like to make decisions that are going to be in the headlines. And I think everybody can agree that Jacob Fowler went back to Laval, and everybody felt good about it. And hopefully Jacob Fowler felt good about it too, because, you know, he didn't look out of place at all. In fact, as I said before, when the Canadians played their two toughest opponents of the week, it was Jacob Fowler in the net. It was assumed that, as I said before, he was going to be back in Laval for the Olympic break. So he's there now. I think the Canadians have 9 games until the Olympic break. He's there a little bit ahead of time. That's okay. And the Canadian schedule is as we look ahead, there's no more back-to-backs, so it doesn't make sense for there to be three goaltenders. It's always an awkward situation. Mm-hmm. And Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens need the roster spot with some injured players now returning to the lineup. We should talk about the goaltenders that remain, and particularly Jakub Dobish. And I thought was Jakub Dobish. I believe it was after his win. I'm pretty sure it was after his win that a Gazette reporter asked him, so how are you going to feel when you're sent to Laval? And Jakub Dobish is an emotional guy. He's a frank guy. He's an honest
Very
guy.
Honest.
He says what's on his mind. I thought it was a terrible question, especially, you know, would you go at the time it was asked? And would you have asked, I don't know, Zach Bolduc that question? Would you? It just seemed out of place. And Dobish said he reacted emotionally. And I think some fans criticized him, some media criticized him for being emotional. And it's kind of a, you know, fans and media are dying to have players and hear from players who are genuine. They don't want the canned, cliched responses. And Dobish gave one. And then
they didn't like that.
And they said maybe he's too emotional for the NHL. Mm-hmm. Well, for those who believe that, let me introduce you to an emotional goaltender. His name is Patrick Waugh, and he did pretty well in the NHL, I think.
Yeah.
Jakub Dobish, and basically the response was, hey, all I do is win. So I don't think it would be fair for me to go to Laval. And he's right. He's not interested in his own personal individual stats, fancy stats. He's interested in winning. He knows that that's what he's there for, that the team appreciates that, his teammates appreciate that. And Jakub Dobish has won 14 games, 14-5-3. And you're going to send him to, he's the one you pick out to go to Laval. Jakub Dobish has lost once on the road in 11 starts. He's been a road warrior because they were catering to Sam Montembeau, hopefully that he could get his mojo back and start giving him the starts in the Bell Center where the crowd was behind him. Of course, that didn't work early in the season either. But that forced Jakub Dobish to take all the road games and it didn't seem to bother him because he just won. Jakub Dobish wins games. Mm-hmm. He hasn't lost in regulation since the 9th of December. I said he had a great December. December and the starts he's had, the limited starts he's had in January. So Jakub Dobish has been solid, a little unorthodox, and maybe not, you know, spectacular, but he's getting the job done, and it makes sense for him to be in Montreal. Now, Sam Montembeau, everybody knows the struggles he had and when he was removed from the lineup and the stint that he had in Laval, he was unplayable at that time. Mm-hmm. Since he's been back in Laval, he's won... back in Montreal, thank you. He won his first three starts, but he was giving up a goal, two bad goals a game, and the Canadians were outscoring his mistakes. In those three games that he won, the Canadians scored 13 goals. They were scoring more than four goals per game to, as I said, outscore his problems. Having said that, once he got through that, his confidence built back up a bit. He was solid in that game against the Washington Capitals.
So we'll see. He's going to play on Saturday night against Ottawa, and we'll see what the rotation looks like going from there. Marty St. Louis was asked about his plans regarding the share of duties, and he literally said, quote, I don't know yet. Thanks. I'm so glad you've thought about this, Marty.
and Marty said he doesn't know anything about goaltending and so maybe he's relying on other people. As far as the goaltender who was sent to Laval, Marty said the decision to send Fowler was made collectively between Kent Hughes, Jeff Gordon, and himself.
All right. Well, we'll see how all of that, how the storm weathers with that. We'll see if Sam Montembeau seems to have, you know, evened things out for now, or if, you know, we know that if he struggles, Jakub Dobish is not going to sit on his heels. And so hopefully Dobish gets an adequate amount of crease time as well to continue his momentum as well.
We also know that if either goaltender falters, there's somebody in Laval who is quite capable of playing at the NHL level.
That's right. Okay, so the next set of decisions that are going to need to be made is all about this return to play. We talked already about Caden Gooley is back in the lineup this week. Josh Anderson was back in the lineup this week. And now, starting tonight in Ottawa, it is, we'll say, quote-unquote, likely, it is very possible that Jake Evans might return to the lineup. And Kent Hughes, at his press conference that he just had about a week or so ago, he has talked about the fact that when everyone is healthy, they are going to have difficult decisions to make. And
they should.
They should.
They should. They get paid a lot of money. And you want your team to be playing well. You want choices. You want good players to pick from to put your roster together and for the coach to put his lineup together.
Definitely. And so Evans is likely going to play tonight in Ottawa. What's that going to do in the lineup? We don't know. Who's coming out for Jake Evans to go in? We don't know that yet. Kirby Dach, Patrick Laine, they are both close to coming back. I would think with both of them in regular jerseys, it's going to mean that we might see them within the next week. And don't forget about Alex Newhook. He's going to be back probably shortly after the Olympic break is over. But we'll leave that aside since that's kind of down the road. We're talking, you know, end of February type of thing. But Jake Evans, Kirby Dach, and Patrick Laine all back in the lineup over the course of the next couple of weeks. That's a big roster shakeup for the lineup.
It is. It allows maybe some upgrades. It allows some opportunities. And I think there's going to be tweaks to all over the lineup, with the exception of the second line. And I'm sorry, if Marty makes any changes to that second line, it's a bad decision, because Kapanen with Demidov and Slavkovsky should be a lock at this point. I know that, the Canadians need a suitable complement to Suzuki and Caulfield, and Slavkovsky could provide that, but you don't want to break up that young second line who are driving the offense right now. So you leave that second line alone. We've said that Texier is, let's be honest, he's a bottom six forward. So will Kirby Dach be given a chance when he comes back? Maybe not the very first game that he plays, as the coaching staff likes to ease the players into the lineup. But eventually, will Kirby Dach be given a chance to play with Suzuki and Caulfield? And he could provide some of the same elements to that line as Slavkovsky did previously.
Also, the bottom six, I think, is where you're going to see just an absolute upheaval, because there are way, 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 way too many bottom six forwards.
There are. And there's even too many bottom six centers, which maybe is a good problem to have. So Jake Evans, you have Jake Evans, Phil Deneau, Joe Valeno, with all kind of the same resume, let's say. That they each have their own strengths, but looking to fill, you know, that bottom six center role, taking faceoffs, being being a defensive forward, playing, being hard to play against, playing on penalty kill, end of the game, locking down a lead, all of that. So those three players, and I think it's, and I don't think there'll be any controversy here, in order would be Evans, Deneau, and Valeno. Valeno, does that mean he's out of the lineup, or does he mean that he can play the wing and would be nice to have that extra face-off guy out there? Could he play the wing? And then does he make all the wingers for that bottom six an even more cluttered situation?
Now, it was unfortunate that Owen Beck was sent to Laval this week, but there's going to be... I don't think that'll be the last send-down that we see because, okay, so we've got Josh Anderson, Brendan Gallagher, Alexander Texier, Zach Bolduc, Sammy Blais, Joe Valeno, and eventually Patrick Laine, all as bottom six forwards to choose from. There are too many chefs in that kitchen.
Yeah, I think, and if it's done on merit, if it's done on needs, if it's done on what's best for the lineup, I think that's bad news for Sammy Blais and Zach Bolduc. The third line, that Deneau line with Anderson and Bolduc, there's been, well, Deneau himself said we have no chemistry. We haven't been able to generate anything. And that third line was dreadful against the Sabres. Gallagher could replace Bolduc, and Gallagher with Deneau and Anderson, a veteran line, might be a better way to go. Zach Bolduc, it looks completely lost out there. Mm-hmm. In the last 14 games, he has 2 points, and he's a minus six. He doesn't look comfortable anywhere in the lineup. And I know he started well, and I know a lot was made about the trade in the offseason and that Hughes was acquiring a potential top six forward, and Hughes was able to fleece St. Louis and all the nonsense that we heard. Listen, Logan Mailloux, he had an early send down to the AHL. And he's come back, and St. Louis has been very happy since then. So happy that this past week they signed Logan Mailloux to a 1-year contract extension. So there's no shame in Zach. I know it's been said he doesn't want to go. He doesn't like the AHL. He doesn't think he thinks he's an NHL player.
Oh well.
He hasn't showed it. He hasn't shown it. Only tiny glimpses have we seen it. And I think he should go try and find his game in the AHL. But you see that there's lots of opportunities. I mean, a case could be made for Sammy Blais bringing a physical presence. But he was added for insurance. The insurance policy was cashed in. He was used, and now with the recovery, the injury recoveries, his presence maybe isn't needed as much. Brendan Gallagher's been receiving a lot of criticism. I think a lot of that is just smoke and cover for a Bolduc and for a Blais for the media that don't want them to be sent to Laval. There's no question that Brendan Gallagher isn't the same player that he used to be, and it's tough to see him struggle the way he does. I wouldn't sit him out before trying him on a line with Deneau and Anderson to see if they could kind of we know they would have a certain amount of chemistry.
They would. Kind of the moral of the story here for all of this return to play kind of goes beyond that a little bit. It don't get too attached to the placeholders that have kind of been put in place or some of the older veterans who you've grown to love and adore over the years, because we're not just talking about, you know, these three guys that next need to come back. And then don't forget, you know, Lina's going to need a spot. Yes, New Hook is going to come back at some point in the coming month or so. But then beyond that, there's going to need to be room made for Michael Hage, possibly next year, Alexander Zhirovsky. And Rick, there's some other prospects who should be getting kind of their graduation note soon.
We've seen some big contracts given out to members of the Canadiens core, and they deserve, you know, Hudson and Dobson and you know the list. And the way the salary cap tends to work in the NHL these days is, yes, you pay your star players, you pay them well, and the bottom six is where you have to you find your bargains. That's where you have a lot of your young talent who are paid either entry-level contracts or the league minimum. And right now, you see in the bottom six, you see a lot of big numbers for Gallagher, for Phil Deneau, for Josh Anderson. And that's not how it works. That's the Canadiens, yes, are in a good cap position now, but they're not going to be able to continue to do this. So what about prospects? You're supposed to be able to dip into Laval and bring up prospects that are ready. What about Laval prospects? Owen Beck, as we said, he's looked good when he's come up. Sean Farrell, one of the top goal scorers the Laval right now. Jared Davidson could be on your bottom six. Florian Jakai, a lot of buzz about him in the preseason. Maybe he could earn a spot next season. Philippe Machar and others. So I think that as we preached, don't get attached to the replacements. Because this roster is going to change. The Canadiens management is going to have to make tough decisions. The Canadian coaching staff is going to have to make tough decisions. And it's not about playing favorites. It's about playing the players who are going to get you to that next level. And the Canadiens are part of that now. They're not there yet. Their window isn't quite open yet. But you look at Detroit, you look at Buffalo, that's going to be their competition in the next years to come.
All right. Well, now let's talk about the defense core in particular, because with Gouley coming back, as you talked about in the first segment, he currently is on the third pairing with Arber Jacki. But he's not going to stay there.
Yeah.
He shouldn't stay there.
The nice thing about it is that everyone, with the exception of Arber Jacki, is on their natural side. And that's good.
That's good.
Lane Hutson, you want him on his natural side. He's played much better when they finally figured it out in December and moved him there. He was good before, but he's been sensational since. So Lane Hutson needs to stay on his left side. Of course, Gouley should be on his natural left side, and Mike Matheson would be better on his left side, although he can, if anyone, I'd put him on the right. But it means that you want Gouley playing against the toughest matchups, and you'd want him maybe with a Noah Dobson. So when are we going to see it this year? When's the swap going to take place? When will Gouley swap spots with Mike Matheson with a little bit of change in the ice time as well? Matheson can still play on the penalty kill, and Gouley should be there too, and he'll get his minutes that way. But I think that it's not going to happen as quickly, but there's going to be. There's going to be some a changing of the guard on defense as well. And I think also, you know, Struble seems to be the odd man out this year. It was pretty clear that Adam Engstrom had bypassed him on the depth chart. He's back in Laval now because it's convenient. But at some point, Adam Engstrom is going to be up. At some point, maybe not this season, David Reinbacher is going to be ready. So there's going to be some change on defense. And those are going to be very difficult decisions for management and the coaching staff as well.
So the trade freeze, the Olympic trade freeze is quickly approaching. And then after the trade freeze is lifted, once the Olympics are over, the trade deadline will not be very far off once trading can resume again.
So that leaves an opportunity to add. Do the Canadians have something in the works? We've heard from Pierre LeBrun that they've been kind of making their calls and doing their due diligence. When Hughes was asked, what do you need? His answer was simple, lots. He mentioned skill, he mentioned physicality, and I think we'd all agree, anyone who watched that game against the Sabres, on the forward side, the Canadians need a physical presence, some physical forwards, Florian Jacky, and have to figure out a way of bringing some size and physicality to their forward complement.
Davidson could do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of those decisions on the horizon, those are big decisions, and it's a lot of it is due to injured players getting healthy, but there are other all of it is a ripple effect, and the decisions made now around the roster is going to say a lot for how the rest of the season goes and setting up the team for the next step in the rebuild, which will be the 26-27 season that begins in the fall. But let's focus just right now quickly on the injured players coming back. And that's the focus of our Canadians Connection question of the week for you this week. We want to know from you, who do you think risks losing their spot in the lineup once the roster is fully healthy? We know that there are a number of players yet to come back from injury. So who do you think risks losing their spot in the lineup once the rest of these injured players return to game action? We want to hear from you. We want your answers to this. The best way to do that is to send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. You can also answer the question by leaving us a comment on Spotify, if that's where you're listening. Or you can leave it as a comment on our YouTube channel. You can find our YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com. You can also answer the question just by hitting us up on social media. It's at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Those are all the places that you can send your response. And we certainly would love to hear from you and love to hear what you think about who might not retain their spot in the lineup once everybody gets healthy. We're going to take our last break here on the show, and we're going to let you think about that for a minute. And when we come back, we're going to get you all set for another great week of Canadiens hockey coming up. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown. With Pick 6, DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. You pick more or less on two or more player stats. And the better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. And welcome back once again to the Canadians Connection Podcast, episode 383 of the Canadians Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, if you haven't subscribed to the show already, please do that. If you're enjoying the content, if you're enjoying the talk, we are here each and every week throughout the year. That includes the Olympic break. That includes the off season. We know that you love to talk about and hear about and learn about the Montreal Canadiens all year long, not just when they are playing. So if that is your cup of tea, then make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a review if you're able to do that on the platform you're listening or watching on. Leave us a like if that's the way to do it. And don't forget to share this episode with your social media followers. Just tap the share button. It goes a long way towards helping us out, and we greatly appreciate that. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find that again over at InsideTheCanadians.com. And if you want some written updates and coverage of the Canadians from our Rocket Sports team as well, then you want to be sure that you check out our written content over at hockeyhotstove.com. Hockeyhotstove.com. Click the Canadians logo. That'll take you straight to our Canadians coverage. There is also a really great fan forum at hockeyhotstove.com, and you can hop into a Montreal Canadiens-centric fan forum on the site as well, where you can chat, debate, get to know other Habs fans. It's a ton of fun, so be sure to check that out as well. Also, don't forget to get your answers in to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Who do you think risks losing their spot in the lineup once the roster gets fully healthy? This is going to be there's going to be a lot of healthy debate on this one, because fans have their favorites. Fans have their thoughts on who should stay and who should sit for a lot of different kinds of reasons. And so we want to hear what you think. Who risks losing their spot once the injured players are healthy again? And how many of them will we see make a comeback this week? We know that tonight the Canadians are in Ottawa to take on the Senators. And we know that it's very possible that Jake Evans is going to play in that game. Then the Canadians play on Tuesday and Thursday, both at the Bell Centre back in Montreal. Tuesday against Minnesota, Thursday against Buffalo again. Will we see Kirby Dach or Patrick Laine or both in any of those two games? We're just going to have to wait and see. Rick, that would bring us then to our next episode of the podcast, which is next Saturday, January 24th. I think there's going to be some,
there's going to be some news.
I think there's going to be some news. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think there's going to be some things happening in this upcoming week. I know Pierre LeBrun had said that he feels that most of the trading is going to be quiet before the Olympics, before the trade freeze, that most of the trading activity is going to happen after the Olympics. And I certainly I concur with that line of thinking, but I think the Canadians.
Yeah, it may not be. It may not be with respect to trades, but there may be some movement with the injured players coming back. And we'll see if there's any surprises.
Yeah, I think so. Enjoy all of the hockey this week. Back to kind of a regular hockey schedule this week, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Nice.
It's kind of nice. Enjoy all of that. Let's keep our fingers crossed for some wins for the Montreal Canadiens. And we will see you again here next Saturday for the next episode of the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.